Pray with me, please. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Dear God, please be our guide even to the end. For you are great and most worthy of praise. When life is uncertain, be our security. When we have questions, be our answer. When we are lost, show us the next step, the open door, the still small voice that speaks to us in ways that all the stresses of life cannot. Even in the stillness, help us to know that you are God. For you will be exalted in the nations, you will be exalted in the earth, and we will know that the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Thank you for the blessings of all kinds, for every good and perfect gift comes from you. Thank you for spiritual blessings, for friendships and adult education classes and small groups and sermons. Thank you for financial blessings and the way that you have been faithful to meet the church's financial needs. Thank you for partnerships with Anuri, with Presbytery, and with other churches in our denominations. These blessings are all ours with 10,000 besides. Help us to follow you in faith, so that through your work in us, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. We pray for upcoming activities, for Music Sunday, and Houseboats, and VBS, and other activities and meetings throughout the life of this church. We pray that we will see these opportunities to share your blessings to others. Thank you for any new visitors with us this morning. And in the midst of this busy Silicon Valley life, they have blessed us with their presence, and we pray that you will bless them in return and provide to them what they came here looking for. Please be with Pastor Kim as she brings us your message. Give us your word, give her your words. Help us to hear your message, and help us to live more like Jesus. And at this time, we say his prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you, Rick. We're in a series on blessing in the Old Testament and New Testament. And what Rick just read are 9 or 10 blessings that are often called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And because they're about, well, different people say how many they are. You sort of have to figure out how you're going to divide them. Some people say there's 8. Some people say there's 9. And even some people say there's 10, depending on how, as I said, you divide them up. But many biblical scholars have said That the Beatitudes are like an addendum to the Ten Commandments, because when Jesus gives these Beatitudes to the people, where is he? He's on a mountain. The slide in front of you is from the Mount of Beatitudes where Jesus stood. So that's a view, if you were standing on that mountain, what you would see. So you can kind of get into the imagery of that text. But because there's 9 or 10 of them probably, people have said, and Jesus gives these from the mountain, this is sort of a New Testament addendum, or a deeper heart version of the Ten Commandments. Just very interesting to think about that. When I was in the Holy Land, I actually was to stand on this mountain, and there was like a chapel there, but it was open to the air and the breeze was blowing, and I got to read to the people gathered there those very words that Jesus spoke in that place. It was a very moving experience for me, and I sensed the Holy Spirit there, just imagining Jesus speaking these same words in that very place. Now, unlike the Ten Commandments, these 10 blessings or Beatitudes are more than just mandates. There's a promise or a blessing attached to each one of these. Now, if we look at these blessings for a minute, our culture would not write them this way. They would write it very differently. Probably something like, blessed are the rich, right? Or blessed are the educated. Blessed are the famous. Blessed are those who get what they want. Blessed are the comfortable. Blessed are the Golden State Warriors and the San Francisco Giants. Yeah. Okay. But do you ever pray, and I pray all the time this, Lord, bless me and take me out of my trouble. Lord, bless me and take me out of persecution. And yet it says here, blessed are the persecuted. We need to hold on to this for a minute. Lord, bless me and take me out of my poverty of spirit. And yet it says here, blessed are the poor in spirit. What do we learn from this? God's blessing does not always obey our interpretation of what we think will make us happy. God answers our prayers not always in the way we request. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. God does not always answer us according to our will. Sometimes it's often very different. So what I want you to remember from all that I say about this today is that there's a paradox to blessing. The very thing we would avoid, the very thing that we would consider to be bad luck or unfortunate, is the very thing that blesses us in the end sometimes. So let me tell you about the word blessed. The word blessed comes from the Greek word that describes a joy that is self-contained. A joy that is self-contained, meaning that it is independent, this joy, from all circumstances around us. All right? Our English word happiness means something completely different. Happiness comes from the root word hap, that means chance. So if you think of the word happenstance, right? It's a chance. Haphazard. Chance. Human happiness comes from chance and the changes in life around us, circumstantial things. But this word blessed is a self-contained thing, independent of circumstances, untouchable and unstoppable. John 16:22, Jesus says, no one will take your joy from you. No person, no circumstances, nothing will take your joy from you. So too many of us spend our lives, I think, thinking we'll be happy when this or if that happens. But blessing does not come when we get what we desire. It doesn't come when we get the stuff or the money. We know that. It doesn't come when we get the dream job. Blessing comes in the person and the power and the presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of circumstances that our culture would consider to be unlucky, unfortunate, difficult. God's blessing is not given for us to get whatever we want. God's blessing is given in the midst of whatever circumstance, whatever trial or tribulation we are in. Jesus understands something, and I want you to repeat this after me in a minute. He understands that if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Let's say that together. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Jesus understands that God's blessing comes not in the comfort, but through the struggle so often. Like we talked about when we looked at Jacob wrestling with the angel or that divine being, right? He wrestled for that blessing. He fought for that blessing. When I struggle, I gain strength. And when I gain strength, I step into the blessing of God. Because after a while, I begin to realize that no matter what I go through in this life, God's grace is sufficient. God is faithful. God will see me through. I know that after all these experiences of struggle. And after a while of living this way, I realize that there's nothing that happens around me can take away this self-contained joy that I'm given. Let's hear an amen. Somebody say that. So what I'm going to do is very, very briefly walk through these Beatitudes with you. And notice that for every difficulty here, there is a promise of blessing. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word poor here is not just about having the latest iPhone, okay? It's about being desperately impoverished. And this basically says, blessed are the desperately impoverished. Who would say that? But that's what this is. That's what Jesus said. And actually, all of us here, we don't have a clue what that is. But when Jesus spoke these words from the mountain that day, 95% of the people he was talking to were below the poverty line and under oppressive Roman rule. So Jesus wanted to encourage those people who are weary and worn down by life. Blessed are you, he tells this crowd. God will bring you justice. The kingdom of heaven is yours. And a more spiritual interpretation is that poor in spirit, Luke says blessed are the poor, Matthew says blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means to lose your pride. It means to have a proper understanding of my insufficiencies and God's all sufficiency. So, spiritually speaking, I am desperately impoverished. Only God is sufficient, and Jesus is saying, trust in God. Focus on inheriting the kingdom of heaven by trusting in God. All right. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there's an Arab proverb that says, all sunshine creates a desert. Yeah. And one of my kids, I think I've shared this with you before, but my kids used to say that he didn't like California because the weather here was in denial of the realities of the world. It is true, if you only have sunshine, the air becomes arid and the ground doesn't produce, and certain things only come up with rain. We know that. And there are certain things that only sorrow can create in our life. Jesus is talking here about blessing in the midst of sorrow. What a paradox. Someone once said we are an Easter people living in a Good Friday world. Suffering and hope living together, that's the reality in which we live. This kind of grief is a part of the journey, and the tears and sorrow that Jesus, this is in Hebrew, Jesus, when he was here, used to cry out to God and cry, you know, weep tears continually. This kind of grief is part of the journey in a broken world, but it can actually bring depth of character and understanding and eventually empathy for others. So I just want to say, if you are in a place of grief right now, in the midst of that grief that we all must walk through in our lives at some point, may you experience the blessing of Holy Spirit comfort. Holy Spirit comfort. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So many people think meek is like milk toast, you know, and pale, somebody who's pale and weak. And that's not what it means. Meekness means controlled strength here. Controlled strength. The Greek seems to indicate it's like a domesticated animal, sort of like an ox, you know, that has tremendous strength but has been trained to serve effectively. It models the humility of Jesus, who though he was God, he became like us and walked with us and taught us on our level. Scripture also tells us that Moses was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. You don't often think of Moses like that. At least I don't. I think of him like an REI model, you know, with the biceps, his hair flowing the wind because of the, you know, all the movies. But
Moses was very meek. Controlled strength. Humility before God. What does it mean to inherit the earth? It means that although we're given great worth and power as children of God and we're full of the Holy Spirit, we are meant to serve here for a while in controlled strength and humility, doing God's will according to his plan for us. That's meekness. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this is a blessing that comes when we are passionate for the things of God beyond all else. Now, a working man in Palestine would have earned would only earn a wage equivalent to about 3 pennies a week. 3 pennies a week. He would be at the threshold of starvation every day. And in that area, thirst was even worse than that. So if a man were to go on a journey, you know, he could get caught up in a sandstorm. And the only thing he could do was to sit down and put his cloak over his face and hope that he didn't get suffocated and hope that he didn't die of thirst. So when the scripture talks about this, it's not talking about hunger and thirst. Oh, I'm hungry this afternoon. I'm going to go get a Subway sandwich. All right? It is talking to those who are living on the edge of starvation and on the edge of thirst. And as I said, most of the people Jesus was talking to were below the poverty line. He's talking to those who are desperate and know they are desperate. And it's begging the question for us, are you willing to pursue the goodness of God to the point of desperation? Right? Are you willing to pursue God to the doorstep of starvation? How intense are we to seek the righteousness of God in our lives? The blessing of being filled, with God comes when you seek God with all your heart. But not until then. All right. 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The word here for merciful comes from the Hebrew word that doesn't just mean to have sorrow for somebody or to just feel bad for someone. That's more like sympathy. All right. Merciful in this context that Jesus uses means to step into someone's skin and feel what they feel. It means to think what they think and to walk in their shoes. And this is the kind of mercy Jesus is talking about here. And, of course, this is what Jesus did for us. He walked around in our shoes for 33 years. A great scripture that speaks to this beatitude is this, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So if you've been comforted by God, because Jesus came and walked in our shoes for 33 years, then you are called to walk in someone else's shoes in that same way. What mercy do you need to give to somebody else this week? Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 24 says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart shall ascend the hill of the Lord. And like mercy and meekness, sometimes purity can be seen as weakness, a kind of naivete. But that is not what this means. Purity of heart can be summed up in one word. That word is integrity. Integrity. Integrity in our relationships. Integrity in our work and our words. Integrity in terms of making God our first priority in all things. Kierkegaard was a Danish theologian, and he wrote a book called Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. Will one thing. Not to be divided in our loyalties, but to seek Christ and Christ alone. Like that song we often sing, in Christ alone my hope is found. That's the only way I have hope. That's the only way I'm going to seek that and not be divided. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We are called to be peacemakers. The world is a violent place. We see it all the time. Not everyone is willing to take on being a peacemaker. It's easier to stay safe and keep out of it. Yet, think about it. Jesus wasn't afraid to take on our violence. Jesus is our peacemaker. He stepped into the violence of our sin and took it on himself. That's why when we do what Jesus did and choose to step into the middle of conflict and suffer for peace, we are God's children. We're doing what God has done for us. I still remember when a high school teacher I know stepped into the middle of a fist fight between two angry teenage boys. In the tussle, he himself was smacked in the nose by one of the boys who was aiming at the other kid and got the teacher by mistake. The fight immediately stopped as blood spurted everywhere. "Oh my gosh, Mr. Thompson," said the student, "I am so sorry." I think of Jesus getting into the middle of things for us, innocent on the cross for us, shedding his blood for our sin. Such a sacrifice stops us in our tracks, doesn't it? It changes us. It makes us look up and say, "I am so sorry." As Jim Forrest says in the Ladder of the Beatitudes, no one has ever been converted by violence. Verse 10 and 11, and I've combined them for the sake of time. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you." The paradox is here, just me. "Blessed are you when people insult you," yay, "persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad," yay, again, "because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It was this chapter, actually, Matthew 5, and these Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, that actually inspired the civil rights movement years ago. It was Dr. King's notion of what he called creative suffering that the leaders followed, and they came out of these 9 or 10 Beatitudes. So with confidence in these words, those leaders stepped into suffering with a cause. They stepped into suffering with a purpose to follow Jesus Christ to gain racial justice for all people. I don't remember who said this statement, but I love it. "If you are succeeding without suffering, somebody else did the suffering already." It's the way our broken world is. And the way these Beatitudes are written, it sure seems like suffering is an on-ramp to blessing, doesn't it? Not only that, but it says, "Rejoice and be glad, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you." That last line says this kind of suffering, creative suffering, makes us like prophets. Why? Well, we are prophets in the sense that as we are peacemakers and hunger and thirst for who God is, as we are merciful, as we are pointing ahead to who God is in the midst of evil, we are prophets because we're pointing to a better way, a better day, a better world. Today you might be in a situation that you want God to pull you out of, but maybe God wants to reside with you in it and bring a blessing out of it. So I don't want anybody to miss their blessing. And are we willing to allow that? Maybe we're missing the blessing because we're so focused on getting out of the suffering. But maybe if we look a little closer, the blessing will emerge and we'll see it. You know, the blessing of Jacob that we talked about earlier, that when he's wrestling with that divine being, what happened when the divine being touched Jacob's hip? What happened? He got injured. And what was the injury? He was a limp, right? Forever and ever after that, Jacob walked with a limp. Who would think that was a blessing? We said this before. Who would think that was a blessing? To walk with a limp the rest of your life. Normally, people don't see a limp as a blessing. You know how the Jews interpret that to be a blessing? Something that we would normally say, well, that's a disability. The Jews interpret that this way. Jacob had one foot in heaven and the other on earth. He can never be completely balanced here on earth because he'd been with God and he was heavenly minded. What a glorious interpretation of something we would consider a disability. Blessed are you today if you suffer, if you limp, if you have difficulty. Are we willing to allow God to be God and use the evil to bring about the blessing, the discomfort to bring about the peace, the mourning to bring about the comfort? That's how God works. That's who he is. So I'd like to do something with you in closing. I want us to read the paradoxical blessings, these Beatitudes together. Just be aware of their meaning and aware of how God may be working through these words in each of our own lives. I don't know what your situation is, but just be aware of how these words might be ministering to you personally. I want to read the first this first part together, right, in unison. And then when we get to the blessings, I want this side to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed, every time there's a blessing, you read that part of the blessing. And then this side, give us the promise, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Let's try it. I think you can handle it. Let's read together. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them. He said,
blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Let's read 11 and 12 together. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you that you are God and they're not. We're so glad about that. We thank you that in the midst of suffering you work, and just as the cross was transformed into the greatest blessing for humanity, so our own sufferings hold within them a blessing. If we are only willing to see our suffering through the lenses of your amazing grace. So help us to do that, Lord. Help us to trust you. And thank you for your amazing Beatitudes that you gave to us that day on the mountain that speak to us still. Ancient words, ever true. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you once again for coming to worship. And we pray today that the words that we've heard, that our hearts will be open to these words, that they may change our lives through God's Holy Spirit.
So go out in peace, have courage, hold on to that which is good, return no person evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.